Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We believe you will be blessed as you listen to this message. May God bless you.
The Bible says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Hey, that demon. It could have just beat them, but it beat them and took their clothes. My gosh. Verse 17. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a wonderful thing that the Bible tells us of here today. Hallelujah. Amen. What is happening here? There's not even anybody, no man of God was involved or anything. No women of God, no nothing. So what must have been happening is that as the Apostle Paul was moving around and serving God and preaching, and God was doing great miracles through him, that people were watching. And then the Bible says certain sons of Sceva, seven of them, they said, we want to try this thing of Paul. If Paul can do it, we can do it. Amen. Hey, my gosh. So they went looking for a man who was demon-possessed. And they found one. And then they said, we've seen when Paul is casting out demons, he commands them to come out in the name of Jesus. So there must be a connection to that name, Jesus. So they told the man who was demon-possessed and said, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, come out! Have you ever seen a demon laughing before? I'm sure I've told you the story, but in case somebody is here who's never heard it before. You know, sometimes I've told you my story so many times that, you know, I feel shy to say it again. But one day I was listening to Pastor E.A. Adeboye, and he was saying that, you all know my stories already. And I was watching, I said, no, I don't know it. And I was saying, say the story, I want to hear it. So just in case somebody hasn't heard it. Many years ago, I was an usher in Lighthouse, in Apache, in Sunnyside. And one of the people got demon-possessed, and the ushers were casting out the demon from that person. So somehow, this demon, I don't know, it was behaving like a rapper. Yo, man, you don't care, yo, man, say, oh, man, care, no, man. Hey! My gosh. You think people are just doing things, you don't know what is there. You see somebody, their pants are here. as they are walking. You think it's a style, but you don't know something inside. Hey! One day I was casting out a demon from a young boy, and he started dancing. As I was, come out, and he was dancing. Hey! And I think there was a song those days called Imote Chonchimal or something, and he was singing it while I was casting out the demon. Hey! My gosh! You won't believe it till you see it with your own eyes. So, they were casting out demons, and then pastors came to help them. I wasn't there that particular day. I don't know why. And then this demon started swearing at them. So every time they were saying, come out, hey, he would release heavy-duty swear words. And this one of the pastors was getting angry. Come out. And the guy would say, dude, come out, dude. And one of the pastors is burning inside. And he couldn't hold himself. And he released a hot slap. Hey! Do you know what happened? The demon started laughing. And said, Pastor, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The demon was quoting the scripture to the pastor. My gosh. So this was what was happening here. They said, Jesus we know. Paul we know. But you, who are you? Hey, in the spirit, people are known. Ask your neighbor, are you known in the spirit? Hallelujah. And you know, the demons, it was one guy with demons, and he beat seven guys, took their clothes, and they went in the house, out of the house, running. One guy that had a demon. Never try to cast out demons alone. I'm telling you, I'm serious. Don't try it. Always have some people around. Yeah. You never know. One time I was casting out some demons from a lady, and two guys were holding her this side, two guys were holding her this side, and the guys were sweating. They were sweating. Now imagine you try it alone, you're alone, there's nobody else there. Hallelujah. Hey. So, the Bible says, this news spread in the environment. Everyone found out what had happened. Because obviously when you see seven guys running naked, everyone knows what's going on here. And the story just spread. And the Bible says the fear of God came upon all of them. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, what surprised me, when you read there, it says, and them that believed also came and confessed. What did they come to confess? The Bible says they confessed all their deeds. How that they used curious arts. Curious arts is magic. So they were imitating the power of God but using black magic. Or magic, whether it's black or white, is magic, it's bad. Are you following what I'm saying? So what made me come and preach this message today is because I saw and the believers, I thought I was going to hear and the witches or the wizards. But it says, and them that believe also came and confessed all their deeds. How that they used curious arts. And they brought the books that they were reading that taught them how to use these curious arts, sorceries and spells. And the Bible says that they counted the books, how much they costed, and it says 50,000 pieces of silver. When I calculated it in rands, it came to 500,000 rands. My gosh. You know, a Bible is very cheap compared to these 50,000 pieces of silver. Hey! So today we just came to answer one question. How come did believers end up doing these things? Believers. In verse 13 it says, and the vagabond Jews, exorcists. An exorcist is someone who uses formulas to cast out demons. Or if you like, they use spells to cast out demons. I'm sure you've seen it in movies before. Yeah. Harry Potter and them. Where they come with a cross and things and say, come out, you using all kinds of amulets and things. That's an exorcist. And then the Bible moves from them to the sons of Sceva. That the sons of Sceva were also doing these practices. And what was painful about the sons of Sceva, the Bible says that their father was a priest. And he was the most chief amongst the priests. So these boys were pastors' kids. And they were using magic to try and imitate what guys like Paul were doing by the Holy Spirit. Eish. So when the Bible talks about Jews, because Jews were children of Abraham, you can take it as though they are talking about Christians. Are you following what I'm saying? So there were a type of Christians that the Bible called vagabond Jews who were doing these types of things using certain things that was not the Holy Spirit. So these vagabond Jews were practicing magic. One of them is in chapter 13 of the book of Acts. The Bible calls him Bar Jesus. He was a Jew. And the Bible calls him a false prophet. So how was he prophesying if he's false? He was using magic, spells. They were even using spirits. They do rituals and they bring up spirits. And they use those spirits to do these particular things that they do. Many years ago, a particular brother one time took a flight and came from Ghana. And when he came from Ghana, he landed at O.R. Tambo Airport. Never been to South Africa before in his life. Doesn't know anybody in South Africa. Then he started walking. Imagine. He just started walking. And he walked from O.R. Tambo International all the way to Sunnyside. As he was at Sunnyside, he saw Lighthouse Chapel International. He said, I've seen this church in Ghana before. And he walked inside. To cut the long story short, that brother was given to me to shepherd. So he became one of my sheep. And this brother told us that he used to be involved in the occult. What is the occult in South Africa? Do we have words like occult? Or let's say he used to work for the devil. Let's just put it that way. Are you following what I'm saying? And that brother told me one day that people used to come to him to consult. So he used to have some kind of things that he would put at his gate. One on the one side of the gate, the other on the other side of the gate. And he said whenever somebody passed his gate, all of a sudden in the house, he would begin to know everything about the person. But not by the Holy Spirit, by those things that he planted there in the gate. And then he will come and say, yesterday you were, and he begins to tell you, and you say, wow. Hey! Many people, they're just surprised by, you know, these things. But some of them, like Bar-Jesus, he was a false prophet. What was he using? He was using all kinds of things that are not of God to try and have certain results that genuine men of God were having. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. I told you about Dr. Gumbi, where one time he was coming from overseas and he landed at O.R. Tambo International. And as they were coming out of the plane, there was a man of God from one of the African countries. I forgot which country it was. I think it was Nigeria. He had a belt on him. A belt similar to, you know, the wrestling heavyweight champion. Yeah, that type of belt. Yeah, Gingi figure belt. Or Bargi figure belt. And as this man of God, and there are those things that check metal on your body. As he passed there, those things started making noise. And then they said, do you have a gun? Do you have? He said, no, I don't have. They checked him. He didn't have nothing. They said, walk. It made a noise. And then they said, take out the belt. And then he told them that, ish, this one is difficult. And they said, why? And he pressed a button on the belt. When he pressed it, everyone in front of him fell on the ground. And I was screaming, please stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. And he pressed the button again, then they could stand up. A man of God who was coming to preach in South Africa. And so one of the people called their managers and said, come and see this thing that we are seeing here. And they came again and they said, press the button again. And Dr. Gumbi said he saw what happened first time, so he moved. And the man pressed the button and the people fell, including the managers and what have you. So he pressed the button and they could stand up again. Now imagine during that service, and Jesus came, and after he preaches, and then he says, now you're going to see power. And the whole church is excited. He said, come here, come here, come here. And Candy is pressing something. And people go home and say, wow, church was powerful, electrifying. What a man of God. Can I show you something quickly? I hope I can find the scripture. I think it's Acts 15. Yes, Acts chapter 15. Are we there? In verse 1, the Bible says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. You see? So these were guys who were born again, who were Jews. They were telling people who got born again, who were not Jews, that for you to be saved, you have to be circumcised first. Hey, which scripture is that one? Asking which scripture is that? I don't know that one. Let's read verse 3. And being brought on their way by the church. Sorry. Verse 5. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So now it tells us exactly who these people are. It was people who were Pharisees that got born again. And now they were telling Gentiles who got born again that, no, you can't just be born again free like that. We have to be circumcised, so also you have to be circumcised. My gosh. So now this became a big thing. There was a huge argument and so on and so forth. Now, I want us to read from verse 6. There's something I want to show you. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago, God made choice amongst us, that the Gentiles by my name should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Sorry, by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon had declared how God at the first... The chair is disturbing me, please. James spoke, and in verse 14 it says, someone had declared how God had first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after again the temple of David, the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek the Lord, and so on, he spoke. Then verse 19, he says, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble them not, which from among the Gentiles turn to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I know it's a lot of scriptures, but I just want you to hear this. Now, there was this problem that had happened, that had come up in the church, where these Pharisees who had received Jesus and believed that Jesus is the Son of God were teaching people that you can't be born again unless you are circumcised first. And so it became a thing. Paul and Barnabas were arguing with them to a point where the church said, okay, go to Jerusalem and go speak to the apostles and let's hear what they have to say. Because there was the apostles that stayed in Jerusalem, the elders, those most of them who walked with Jesus. Are you following?
Amen.
So when they came there, they explained the situation. So Peter is the first guy who rose up. And he said, do you remember when I had the vision? And God showed me the blanket and everything and showed me the meats. And he said, eat. And I said, no, I don't eat these things. And God said, don't call unclean what I have called clean. And then I went to Cornelius's house and I preached and God saved those people and the Holy Ghost came. And so God was showing that the Gentiles are just like us. We don't have to trouble them. And then Paul and Barnabas came and also began to speak. And they started telling them the miracles and the power that they were seeing as they were going around preaching from town to town and city to city. Then the Bible says everyone kept quiet and then James spoke. And James said, it is written. And then when he finished to say, it is written, he said, my sentence is, in other words, he's saying, this is my decision. Meaning that James was now the head of the church. He was the leader. So I would have thought that Peter is the leader because Jesus said, Peter, when thou art converted, please strengthen the brethren. And Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. And I caught it and said, mm-mm. God doesn't build his church on visions. He doesn't build his church on miracles and power. He builds his church upon his word.
Amen.
Upon his what?
His word.
That's why James had risen to become the leader. Because he stood upon the word. He said, it is written. And he quoted the scripture. And he said, based on this scripture, this is the decision I'm making.
Amen.
My gosh. So many people, they are only moved by the visions. And others are only moved by the power. But few are moved by it is written. And remember when Jesus was face to face with Satan, he said, it is written. The word, 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 the word. Hallelujah. All right, we've gone far from where I'm taking you. So anyway, these vagabond Jews, exorcists, sons of Sceva, and believers who are using curious arts. Why? What happened to them that now they are doing these things? I've got 3 points that I want to give you, then we go home. Number one, the reason for this is in the name that the Bible tells calls them. Calls them vagabond Jews. They were vagabond in nature. Pastor, what is vagabond? Vagabond, okay, write quickly. Everyone is looking down now. Bayede. Bayede. We. So the first reason why these people behaved like this, they became actors, they were imitators of the works of the Holy Spirit, using all kinds of things that are not of God, is because they were vagabond. Vagabond means they were wanderers. It also means they were roving, roving Christians. Pastor, I still don't understand. One of the things, if we take those guys and compare them to today's time, it is the type of Christian who moves from church to church to church to church to church to church. Such Christians are vagabond type of Christians. They are wandering Christians. They are roving Christians. They don't have a home. They keep moving and moving and moving and moving. Over time, imagine such a Christian who ends up in the church of that pastor with the belt. Imagine. Imagine. And they keep moving and moving and moving and moving. To a point where they picked up bad habits as they kept on moving from church to church to church to church to church to church.
Amen.
To be a wanderer is a curse. To not have a home is a curse. That's what happened to Cain after he killed his brother Abel. The Bible says he became a wanderer on the earth. Moving and aimlessly on the planet. Homeless, just wandering. Moving up and down. So there are types of Christians who by nature are wanderers. One lady came to me, used to be in our church, and said, think of any man of God in South Africa. I've been to his church. Hey. Think of a bishop. Think of a prophet. Just think of a name. I've been to their church. And now I've also become one of in her list, unfortunately. Ish. I don't know if you have noticed, but a lot of Christians who move and keep moving, when they come to a place that is balanced, they always look strange. Their behaviors are strange. They are not normal Christians. You haven't noticed? They've got all kinds of issues and problems. So they are just wondering. When God is trying to cook them in one church, they say it's too hot here, they move to another. When God is trying to cook them, and in their moving, they even move to the churches that don't belong to God. And they pick up bad habits. And these types of people are the ones who are often tempted. These are the people who are often tempted to end up doing, you know, copycats, trying to copy the Holy Spirit by using other things. Are you following me?
Amen.
These are the type of Christians, and the Bible is talking about Christians.
Amen.
These are the type of Christians who attend rituals. Rituals that go under the guise of it's our cultural thing, it is our family thing, or sometimes it's even religious rituals.
Amen.
And they attend all these types of rituals. These are the ones who are sometimes tempted over time because there are groups of people in their lives who talk to them, who they attend these types of rituals with. That when things are going bad in your life, my friend, you have to go, hey, and because you are a Christian that attends these different things, and you move with these types of people, and they even have the boldness to come and whisper it to your ear. The boldness. Imagine. So these types of Christians tend to be tempted to use alternative methods. Eesh. Ask your neighbor, are you a wanderer? Another word for vagabond is a stroller. Stroller. What is a stroller, Pastor? A stroller is someone who's just moving around relaxed in life. You'll notice them on a Sunday, they come late at church, but they are not, I'm late. Mm-mm. They are strolling nicely as they are late. It's a stroller. It's another word for vagabond. It's not me. I'm just telling you the Bible. Skakwatashem. Moving leisurely. So there are types of Christians who their Christianity is like the way they walk. This is their Christianity. Relax. No need to hurry. No need to hurry. Prayer, I'll come next week. No need to. Relax. Relax. Don't worry. They're just strolling in their walk with God. Just moving in their own time, not God's time, their own time. Slow and hurried and bothered, going nowhere, taking their time type of Christian. These types of Christians are the ones who are often tempted to become like Sons of Sceva type of Christians. Some years ago, they stole someone's car. And they came and told me that such a car was stolen. I said, oh. I said, let's pray. But when I said, let's pray, I could feel, man, there's no faith. Are you following?
Amen.
One day, Paul was preaching somewhere. Was it Paul? I think it was Paul. He was preaching somewhere, and there were some people around, and the Bible says Paul noticed that they had faith to be healed. He could see that they had faith to be healed. So sometimes we are praying for people and you can see that there's no faith. Hey. So I was telling the person, let's pray. But I could tell, man, that there's no faith that the prayer could bring back the car. And I noticed something that day, that if you are not used to doing something, the day that you need to do it, you will not do it. I hope I make sense. If you are used to praying and trusting in God, the day things become tough, you go on your knees and you call on God. But if you are not used to doing that, the day things are tough, you go and consult other things. And so there are many Christians who, their Christianity is too relaxed. Too relaxed. Too calm. And such a Christian, when they need to call on God, they are not used, they have not exercised their muscles to know how to call on God.
Amen.
And they will look for any closest alternative around. And they end up being like sons of Sceva, using whatever. If we had time, I would take you through the many things. There's about 12 things that people do that are supposed to imitate the works of the Holy Spirit. Are you following what I'm saying?
Amen.
Yeah. So the one reason that these believers ended up buying books and sometimes Christians will amaze you. Here's a wonderful book here. You will leave it. And you'll go and spend R500,000 when everything you need is in here. Everything you need. Pastor, how can I be a good wife? Yeah, the answer is here. Pastor, how can I be a good husband? The answer is here. How can I be a good parent? The answer is here. How can I do well in my workplace? The answer is here. Any topic in the world, there's an answer here. And you leave this book. The Bible says that this book was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In other words, God Himself wrote it as He inspired human beings. He gave them His word and they wrote.
Amen.
And you think there's another book more powerful than this? Why would you leave? There's a brother who used to come to our church. One day he came with a book and said that I read this book and what. And Mambrito almost... So what is this book that you are... Some people are amazing. You teach them. And then they just find one stupid book out there. They've collected it now. They are following it now. So I've seen the light. What light? You have seen the darkness, my friend. It's not that one is not light. Don't call darkness light. If you are confused, don't try to confuse us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. So, try not to be relaxed in your Christianity.
Amen.
Try to be a proper Christian.
Yeah.
Try to be prayerful. Try to serve God.
Amen.
Many Christians, the way their Christianity is, they say, why are you in a hurry? We'll do it tomorrow. That's their type of Christianity. They are strolling. Hey! So what if Jesus will come back today? I was telling some guys on Saturday that, okay. Let me not off-ramp. Hallelujah. Another reason why people end up being like the sons of Sceva, they end up being like these vagabond Jews, false believers, is because they have a doubtful mind. A doubtful mind. Let's turn to the book of Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And let's read verse 29. Are we there? Luke chapter 12, verse 29. Are we all there now? The Bible says, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind." Hallelujah. Now, one of the things that surprises me about what this doubtful mind means, when you search, it actually talks about people who are looking to the sky. Looking to the sky? When they see that star, it means this. And when they see that star, it means that. Sometimes the Bible, you have to search because you see, when you see doubtful mind, you just think it's somebody who's doubting. But the original text is talking about someone who's looking to the sky. It's actually, I don't know if you know something called meteors. Have you heard of meteors? Sometimes there'll be a rock in space that is flying across. Aha, they call them meteors. So someone will look and see one and say, ah! It's my year. Hey! And the Bible's talking about Christians. Star signs. You are born in this month, it means 1, 2, 3. And this is what is happening in your life. Ah! Just from the month I was born. Wow, my friend. Hallelujah. And the Bible calls them people who have a doubtful mind. They end up being tempted to start looking at all these other things to try and make their lives better. Why? Because they are struggling to believe that God can take care of them. If you read Luke chapter 12 from verse 22, you'll see it's similar to Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Life is more than your clothes, it's more than food and so on. It's where he was talking about all those things. And then in verse 28, he talks about, oh ye of little faith. And then he says, don't be one that has a doubtful mind. So, you can see that the problem here is the struggle to believe that God will take care of you. And you end up being tempted to try other things. That's how these people ended up using witchcraft, sorcery, spells, all kinds of things as believers. Reading all kinds of books. They leave the Bible and read all kinds of other books. The problem is that they are struggling to believe that God can change my situation. God can take me from here and take me there. Your walk with God is all faith, my friend. Have you seen God? The God that you serve is the same one who says, if you see my face, you die. So you go believing, trusting, hoping. That's what being a Christian is. So when you struggle to believe, to trust, to hope, to have faith, you end up being tempted to try other things. It can lead you as a Christian. You come to church, but you are doing other things on the side. Other illegal things according to Scripture. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah.
So you have to believe. You have to believe. I was telling Mom Ruti that when I had my health problems this year, it is the toughest thing I've ever been through in my whole life. Toughest. I remember one time I was sitting there and I was remembering my preachings. And I said, yeah. Now it's time that I live what I preach. Now it's time that I believe. It's time that I trust God. One guy called me when I was in hospital and said, Pastor, you in hospital? But you serve God more than all of us must. Eesh. I had to believe. I had to trust God. When you are going through the most difficult times of your life, will you continue believing? Will you continue trusting? Will you be strong in your faith? Or just some fool will come and say, hey, kunomunyu mama, uhlala lapha estradini lapha. Ngiyakutshela inkinga zakho sesiphele uma uya lapha. Finish, problem, finish.
Amen.
Or can you trust God? Jesus said something, that when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? I told God many years ago that I don't have any other option. I've chosen you. I have no other option. Job said something. I'm going to misquote it, but something along those lines. He said, though he kills me, yet will I trust him. The same God that I believe in. Job thought he's the one who's killing him. But he said, even though that's the case, I'm still going to trust him. I was watching Dr. Gumbi towards his final years. Dr. Gumbi had diabetes. He became ill. He had a problem with his leg. Never thought it was a serious thing. When you have diabetes, a wound can become a problem that doesn't heal. And they had to cut off his leg. And he was still preaching. I was watching. I'm so sad that I knew him. I found out about him on his funeral. But I was now watching his videos, watching him preach, and watching when he was younger, I was watching. And my brother, you are anointing me so nicely, and then you stopped. And then at some point, there's a song that he sings. We were foreigners, huh? In relation to ease. There's one that you'll see, there's a video that they have where I think he's even sitting on a wheelchair. And at some point he tries to stand. You see, he wants to sing this thing to his God. So at some point his leg was amputated. And then even in his later years, he was even struggling to see. And I have one video where I was watching him. It was like in a funeral. And you can see that this man can hardly see. And he was preaching. And I remember what he was saying. He was telling them that there is a better death. I was watching. I was so touched. And he said, our death is better because our death has hope. That one day we will wake up again. As he's talking, he can hardly see. These are people who love God no matter what. Even when it doesn't make sense. Even when everything is falling apart. They love their maker. They love their creator. They will follow him to the end. To the end. But these particular Christians, when life was a little bit, they started shaking. And they started looking, what else can work for us? Me, I want to be like Job. God was confident that Satan, you can try anything. This one is mine. He will never disappoint me. Amen. I thought that guy was going to do it in over 3 months. One day. In one day, he gave Job problems that people experience in their whole lifetime. In one day. And Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Am I talking to somebody here?
Amen.
Yeah. In the turnaround hour, I feel so full. In the turnaround hour, I showed them a scripture that I was recently reading where Paul went to Athens. When he got to Athens, their whole streets were filled with statues, different gods that they were believing in. And Paul was moved and then began to preach to them. And I was moved by his message. One of the things he said is that you people are too superstitious. Are you following? And then he explained. He said that as I was moving around, I saw one of your place of worship and you have a superscription written there to the unknown God. So you people are worshiping, you even say when you to the unknown God, we are worshiping the unknown God. And he said, that God that you don't know is the God that I've come to tell you about.
Amen.
I love this guy.
Amen.
And so he began to preach to them. And he began to tell them about this God. And one of the things that he said that touched me this week, he said that this God created man. And he gave this man two things. He gave him time. And he gave him a place to stay. He created the human being and gave him two things. Time and a place to stay. Are you following?
Amen.
Pastor, what is time? Time is your lifespan. Some of us, God will give us 60 years. Some will give us 70 years. Some will give us 80 years. Some people on the earth, we know people, 16, they are gone. 30, they are gone. 35, they are gone. That was their time. That's the time that was allocated to them while they are living here on the earth. Then Paul continues to explain. Why did he give them the time? Why did he give them the place? He said that the reason he did this is so that they can find God.
Amen.
That they will feel for him and find him, for he is near to every one of us.
Amen.
I said, my God, this is the purpose of life. The reason you are here is to find God. No other reason. To find God. God gives you 60 years. In those 60 years, you must find God. God gives you 70 years. In those 70 years, you must find God. You are here with one mission. Find God. If you live your 60 years and you don't find God, you have failed miserably. No matter what you would have achieved, if you have not found God, you are a failure. Because that's the only mission. When I read that scripture, this is Acts chapter 17, by the way. When I read that scripture and I read it over and over and over again, and it says that the reason for this is that man can find God and that he may feel him and find him. That word feel for him means that he would grope, just reach out and grab him. Amen. And the way that the apostle explains, he says that you can reach out and grab him. Why? Because God is close to every one of us. Amen. So what Paul is explaining is that God is just if you do this, if you do this, you will find him. Now imagine you live 70 years and you don't find him. Someone that you can just do this and find. Ha. Are you following what I'm saying? Help me, Jesus. When I say help me, Jesus, say help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, let me give you the last point. The first one I said, the reason why the sons of Sceva became what they became and all these other types of Christians was because they were vagabond in nature. The second one, I told you that they had a problem with a doubtful mind. And then the last one for tonight. Is that they were idle, wandering, gossiping, busybodies. Idle, wandering, gossiping, busybodies. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Play it, brother. Hallelujah. Idle, wandering, gossiping, busybodies. Hey. Now I wish I had time to explain this to you, but I will try. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13, 1-3. First Timothy chapter 5. Are you learning something tonight?
Amen.
All right. Verse 13. Are we there? Amen. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers. The word tattlers means gossipers. Also, and busybodies. A busybody is someone onagi indaba zabantu. This is a busybody, worried about other people's problems, speaking things which they ought not. So this scripture is similar to Luke chapter 12, 29 that we just read. In Luke 12:29, it talks about people who have a doubtful mind. And when you look at it from the surface, you think that they are just talking about a doubtful mind, but they are talking about looking to the skies and whatever. This word here in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 13, especially the word busybody. It means the same word that we read in Acts chapter 19, where it says that they were using curious arts. So in the Greek, it's the same word that is used. Where one in Acts, it's interpreted curious arts, but in 1 Timothy chapter 5, it's interpreted busybody. But it's the same thing in the original language that the Bible was written in. Meaning that they were using spells and so on and so forth and witchcraft and all kinds of things. Now, this scripture here, 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul is talking to Timothy. And in chapter 5, he's speaking specifically on how they should handle widows, people whose husbands has passed away. Are you following what I'm saying? I wish I can take you through all of that, but because of time. So in communicating to Timothy about that, because, I mean, Paul's books are so beautiful for running a church. They make you, they train you, they make you understand how to run the church of God. Are you following what I'm saying? So, in all these wonderful counsel that Paul is giving Timothy, he mentions a certain group and a certain type of widows. That there are a certain type of widows who become idle. The word idle means lazy. Who become wanderers going from house to house. What are they going to do house to house? They are going to be tattlers. They are gossiping about other people. And then there are busybodies. One of the things you will notice, especially Gomahayeng, most of the witches are female, and most of them, and most of them are widows. Man, scripture is beautiful. You've not noticed something like that? You've seen them. There's the scripture that told us why, what's going on. And so a Christian can become a witch. There is a good widow and then there's a widow like this. There's a widow in the Bible, if I'm not mistaken, I think her name was Anna. She lost her husband at a young age. And she gave herself to God after she lost her husband. And the Bible says that she would serve God by fasting and praying. And I think she, if memory serves me right, she did it for almost 80 years. To the point that God honored her. That when Jesus was born, the Holy Spirit led her to Jesus. And she saw, she said, I've seen the salvation of the Lord. Then there are widows who become lazy, who become wanderers. It means that they lose the purpose for life. And they start becoming gossipers, just yep, 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 yep. And become busybodies. But this busybodies means they end up using curious arts. I was telling Mom Ruti recently that I have a feeling that laziness can make a person very ugly. And I found it here. Laziness can make a person a witch. Even if you don't say amen, me, I like the Bible that I'm preaching, that I'm reading. Hey. Yeah. There are guys who will not go and work and not go to, they'll stay at home, they whatever, whatever, whatever. Then all they do is they go and rob people, take people's things, and the criminality just becomes worse and worse. But for many of them, started with laziness. For many of them. And there are people who start with laziness but end up as witches. They will not do the things that they have to do, but become angry when other people are doing things and are becoming successful.
Amen.
And have a desire to see them fail and fall to a point that they will use certain things to destroy people's lives.
Amen.
It's all the Bible. I'm reading it to you. Are you following what I'm saying? It is amazing to me that, you see, this shouldn't be believers who we are reading about. But unfortunately, it is believers. The day you receive Jesus, you got a ticket. But there are many things that want you to miss the flight. There are many things that want to take your ticket away. That even though you have the name believer, you will not be worthy to enter those pearly gates.
Amen.
This journey, it is something that you have to, your walk with God, you have to protect with both hands.
Amen.
Not just lazily move around on this earth as a believer. What you have is precious. Satan saw what Adam and Eve had, and he went to them, and he stole what they had. They didn't notice what they had, how precious it was. When you don't notice what you have, it's easy to lose it. One day, Jacob was eating some stew beef. I don't know whether it was chicken stew or what, but it was a stew, the Bible tells us. And then Esau, his brother, had gone hunting and he didn't catch anything. And he came back hungry. And he said to Jacob, "Give me your food, my friend. I'm dying here." He was not dying. He was being dramatic. And Jacob said, "Food, no problem, but let's make a deal. Give me your birthright." And Esau said, "What can my birthright do for me now? Just give me the stew." And there was an exchange. Nothing physical was given to Jacob. Something physical was given to Esau. But there was an exchange. Esau lost something for stew that after he ate, he went to toilet and released. One day, Jacob was traveling and he fell asleep. And he laid his head down and he fell into a dream and he saw a ladder. Angels coming down and going up. At the top of the ladder, Jesus himself was standing there. Now, that thing that he got from Esau was starting to work. That today, when God introduces himself, he says, "I'm the God of Abraham." It should have been an Esau, but now it is. Isaac, it should have been Esau, but it became Jacob. He lost it for a stew. You've got something very valuable, very valuable, very valuable, very valuable, very valuable. And in the spirit realm, it is noticeable. Be careful, don't be an Esau. And say, "Hey, God, thing for num 7 hours. Hey, I'm not told. It's in your Zama lab. Some nigga 200 rand. Angazu koka malin. Unknown to you." Exchange. Because you don't value. I wish you could read your Bible the way I read my Bible. And I wish you could see. I wish God can open your eyes. Like Elijah prayed for his servant. Was it Elijah or Elisha? He said, God, open his eyes. And the young man's eyes opened. And he saw angels surrounding them. And he noticed that the ones who are for them are more than those who are against them. I pray the same prayer for you. That as you open the book, you will see. You will see. My friend, I've read this book and I've knelt down and I said, Lord, I'm ready to sleep under a bridge for you. Just by sitting and reading this book. Anything, God, anything. Anything. When you stand before glory, do you understand when Isaiah, the way your eyes are looking at me, you're telling me something. I'm closing. When Isaiah had the vision he had, in Isaiah chapter 6, I believe it is, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And his whole train that filled the temple. And he said there were seraphims and cherubims that were flying over him. And he said they each had six wings. With two they covered their legs. With two they covered their faces. And with two they did fly. And they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the Bible says the doorpost opened at the voice of him that cried. And there was a smoke that entered the room. It was the presence of God. And then Isaiah saw him. And he said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am dead. He said, I'm dead, for my eyes have seen the Lord. When he saw him, he felt like he was the deadliest thing on the earth. When he saw him, he felt like he's already dead. He's nothing. When he saw him, when you enter that glory, you'll be surprised at the things we are telling God. Lord, I'm ready to die for you. Lord, Lord. Because now you are in a place where everything on the earth, like Paul said, I counted but dung. He had experienced what Isaiah experienced. That when anything he saw on the earth, as he sees people chasing this, chasing that, he's surprised. What are you people chasing? It is because he has tasted something that, I mean, nothing in this planet can compare to. I pray for you in the name of Jesus Christ. That he will open your eyes. Amen. And that you will see. Amen. In Jesus' name. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's rise to our feet. I'm sure God was speaking to you left, right, and center today. Open your mouth. I want you to talk to him concerning whatever he has put in your heart. Communicate with your God. Ask him to help you. Ask him to grant you grace. May he save you from being a type of Sons of Sceva type of Christian. A vagabond Jew type of Christian. Wandering, idle, aimlessly strolling. May he strengthen your faith. Pray, Lord, strengthen my faith so that I don't have a doubtful mind.
Thank you for listening to this powerful word of God. We believe you are blessed. For more inquiry, please visit www.healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call us at 072-591-2858. May God bless you.